We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome. And to start the new series, we have our four regular panelists. Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones. And as usual, they will try and speak, if they can, on some subject that I will give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. I will try and interpret the rules as we go along and adjudicate and try and see the fair play. Yeah, Messiter will keep the time, and we will start the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject that Ian Messiter's chosen to start this one is the best way to lie. And you have 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I'm a great exponent of this, and I can assure you that the best way to lie is to be flat on your back and ensure that the pillow is not too high. Indeed, an osteopath told me that that can cause the most awful problems with the neck muscles, and he assured me that the best way to do it is to have something very thin. The legs should be ideally raised a little at the ends so the blood circulation flows much more easily than otherwise. Of course, an eiderdown or a merino wool blanket luxuriously over the body will ensure that the kind of warmth...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of ensure.
No, he actually said Ashur before.
Yeah, oh, thank you. What a very good chairman.
Yes.
Very good.
His diction.
I see why you got that job, Nicholas. Marvelous.
So, there are 13 seconds for you to continue with the subject. You've got a point for an incorrect challenge.
Yeah,
Kenneth,
got a point for that, yeah.
And you have 13 seconds, as I said before. Starting now.
Best way to lie is to do it with great aplomb.
Kenneth, Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of great.
Yes, he did say great before. I'm sorry, Kenneth. So, that was a correct challenge. A repetition there, and Clement Freud takes over the subject, having gained a point, and a 9.5 seconds left, starting now.
I have a girl who's 6 foot tall, sleeps in her kitchen with her feet in the hall. Used to be an old talking blues song.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Jason, that cannot be the best way to lie.
No,
in a kitchen with your feet through the wall.
I would say that's a marvellous challenge, Derek, yes.
Would
I
you?
Mean, most uncomfortable
way to lie.
Would you
really say that was a marvellous challenge?
Yes, I would. Ian, according to EMS, you have 1/5 of a second to take over the subject of the best way to lie, Derek, starting now.
In a fetal position.
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up. And whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was, on this occasion, Derek Nimmo, who is in the lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, my party piece. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
There are strange things done in the midday sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake Lebarge. I cremated Sam McGee.
Now, Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of C. I let him get on with it, but there were two C's in that.
Well, I think that's a trifle mean.
Yes, I love that. Oh, very
lovely,
isn't it?
Exciting.
Very
exciting. I mean,
yes.
C.
What does the audience think? I mean, he's doing his party piece beautifully. I mean, shall I twist the rules and give it with Peter Jones, or shall I give it to Clement Freud? Cheer for Clement, boo for Peter, all do it together now.
Boo!
Right, Peter, the boos have it.
Oh, yes.
An incorrect challenge, but you still got the subject and the point. Right. No, we must, to be fair, and give Clement Freud a point, because his challenge was correct.
Oh.
But we leave Peter with the subject, which is 42 seconds, my party piece, starting now.
The aforementioned was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows, and why he left his home in the South, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to grip him like a spell, though he'd often say, in his homely way, that he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold through the park.
Well, I think we better...
have a repetition of
code. Yes, repetition.
What's your challenge, Jerry?
We had a repetition of code, but he just... he seemed to be running out, but he seemed to be laughing, but I thought I'd help him out. Anyway, so it was a repetition of code.
It was indeed, yes.
And gold, and
yes. Do you want to take over?
It was nice, though, wasn't it?
Yes. It goes on for about a quarter of an hour.
Yeah. Trouble is, they don't want to laugh at it because they're listening to see if you're going to repeat yourself, the audience.
I know, so is I. I couldn't remember what was coming next.
I know. Derek, you have a correct challenge on the subject, and there are 18 seconds. My party piece starting now.
My party piece was always to go and tell jokes to people, which used to produce hilarity and mirth wherever I went. And I also had a ventriloquist doll called Kenny Hawk.
Derek Nimmo kept going to the whistle went. And Derek, would you begin the next round? The subject is the dishwasher. Will you talk about that in the game starting now?
Well, the dishwasher in my household is called Patricia Sybil Ann Nimmo. And she attends to all the dishes that need to be cleaned. I very seldom enter the kitchen at all. And I regard it as a spectator sport. And she does it frightfully well. I can look at her through an open door, and away she scrubs with pans, and indeed, of course, dishes and cups and saucers, and cleans them most beautifully. Of course, you can buy the electronic kind. And these, I believe, most women find to be preferable. You just put the plates in them and plug the thing into the wall. Your water.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation?
Yes?
Willingly. Yes, I think so. Definitely, Clement.
Oh, absolutely.
You have the subject of the dishwasher.
Very good, Clement.
A point for a correct challenge, of course, and 25 seconds on the dishwasher starting now.
One of the great dangers in my family is that the kids mistake the dishwasher for the television set, neither of which give you anything very compulsive to see, and both show you an amazing configuration of this and that, pots and pans, people, handkerchiefs, shirts, collars, whatever gets into the dishwasher.
Peter Jones, a chance.
Must come
well,
out.
You don't put shirts and things in the dishwasher.
No, you don't.
Oh, we do.
Not that shirt you're wearing. Never been in a dishwasher.
Anyway, Peter, I would consider that deviation anyway,
would,
even
yes,
if they do. So you have the subject, Peter, with 6 seconds on the dishwasher starting now.
I think the dishwasher is always underrated. It makes a tremendous contribution to a meal, quite as much as a cook. It's the plates of parking.
Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went. He gained the extra point. He's now equal in second place with Clement Freud, trailing a little behind Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams is trailing a little behind them all. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the last time I broke the law. That's a nasty one to have to talk about in the game, isn't it? But you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The last time I was accused of breaking the law, I took...
Kenneth Williams is struck.
He's not talking on the subject. The last time I broke the law, not the last time I was accused. So he's deviating.
Oh, that's a very subtle challenge.
No, it's not. It's absolutely true. It's a deviation.
Yes, of course. Right. There are 51 seconds for you, Clement. Having had the benefit of the doubt, for the last time I broke the law, starting now.
I had the starting handle of my car stuck up its exhaust pipe. And what had happened, quite simply, was that I had reversed into a hedge. And the aforementioned piece of machinery at the rear end of my vehicle had come into contact with a hedge, as a result of which it was choked and the engine cut out. I opened my boot, took out such implements as there were in the toolkit.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
You can't keep toolkit in your boot.
Why not?
Well, in the boot of the car, possibly.
All right, Peter Jones, that round of applause deserves a point. A lovely challenge. But I think we all knew that he meant the boot of the car, so...
Well, it was very ungrammatical in that case.
I know. A lovely challenge. Right, point to Peter, leave the subject with Clement Freud, and he continues with the last time I broke the law, 27 seconds, starting now.
And
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree.
Quite right.
So, Kenneth, you got in with 26 and a half seconds on the last time I broke the law, starting now.
Well, I can tell you this anecdote with absolute candor. It really happened to me as a child, and of course one can be forgiven at that age for doing something silly. I pinched a carrot off...
Derek Nimmo, chum.
Deviation, I'm perfectly sure that's not the last time that he broke the law. Well, how can I judge on that one?
Well, you can't. It's absolutely impossible. That's why you've done it.
I know. I'll tell you what, I'll do the same as I did with Peter Jones. Give Derek a point for a good challenge, but leave the subject with Kenneth, which seems the fair thing to do. 14 and a half seconds, the last time I broke the law, starting now.
And following upon what I've told you, a friendly constable took me, gave me a cup round the ear to my parents and presented them with his dilemma. He said...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation is pronounced and the constable broke the law. It is illegal to cuff people around the ear.
Well, it is illegal, but with no saying that he may not have done it. And in the old days, sometimes a good cuff from a friendly constable did far more.
Well spoken. Well spoken. Very good chairman, isn't he? But it's
even if it's illegal then or now, it doesn't mean to say it didn't happen.
I can't see that he can be a particularly friendly constable if he's going around cuffing people around the ear.
Right. It would be cuffs round the ear.
A lot more friendly to get a cuff round the ear and spend a night in the jail.
If it's a friendly constable, it would be a friendly cuff, which would put him in his place, you know.
It's just cuffs round the ear and elsewhere from unfriendly constables we have to worry about.
Exactly, Peter. That's the point I was trying to make.
Quite. Well, I'm glad I made it for you, finally.
was... 4 seconds for you to continue.
And I've got a lot of points in there, haven't I?
Oh, you've got a lot of points
good,
in there.
Good.
But you're still in fourth place.
Right.
But you may get ahead. You still have the subject. The last time I broke the law, 4 seconds, starting now.
The last time I broke the law was purely unwittingly in taking a broadcast. Right.
And Kenneth, at that last point for speaking as the whistle went, has really moved forward into second place alongside Clement Freud, only one behind Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones is only one behind the Kenneth. And it's Kenneth's turn to begin. Kenneth, the subject, John McAdam. Will you tell us something about him in the game, starting now?
John McAdam, what a name. It's redolent indeed of Scotland, which is where he came from. His full name, John London McAdam, invented a special way of building roads which is known today as McAdamizing. As a successful merchant, he went to New York but returned to take a post at Bristol, inspector of turnpikes, and he remade their roads for them with a marvelous effect. So much.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of roads.
Yes. Peter, you have the subject with 26 seconds on John McAdam, starting now.
Yes, well, I think it's a great pity that John McAdam started making these roads in a way that wasn't really as good as the Romans made them, because there are still quite a number of them in existence now, which were made by the aforementioned people 2,000 or more years ago.
Kenneth Williams, a chance.
John McAdam, it's nothing to do with the Romans.
There are 8 seconds left for you, Kenneth, on John McAdam, starting now.
One would think that a man as brilliant as this would have found financial reward from his work with the...
Lemon Troy, Charlotte.
Hesitation.
Yes! Rotten. When Kenneth hesitates, you all laugh. And Clement's got him with 1 second to go on John McAdam, starting now.
Was born in Ayr.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud has taken the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo and Kenneth Williams, and Peter Jones, one behind those two. Peter, your turn to begin the subject, experts. Will you tell us something about experts in just a minute? Starting now.
Well, the extraordinary thing about experts, to my mind, is that they very rarely agree, particularly when they're under oath. if one has to give evidence...
Derek Nimmo challenge. Yes, I'm afraid there was, Peter. There are 49 seconds for experts with you, Derek, starting now.
To my mind, one of the greatest experts in the art of comedy is Kenneth Williams. To see that man wander across a stage using every muscle of his body to provoke hilarity and mirth is a great joy and treat for everyone that beholds it. The way that he can subtly...
Peter Jones is challenged.
I'd like not to be included in the last remark. Anyway, he's supposed to be in the plural. He's talking about one expert, you see.
No, no.
Derek, it's an expert. And he's supposed to be talking about experts.
Well, he's given an example of one expert. No, 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 he's not deviating. I'm going to give you a point for your challenge because you didn't want
to... I'm not concerned with points. I'm concerned with the sense of the thing.
Are you?
Yes.
I'd stick to the points in both of you. Peter, you get a point for that, and Derek continues with experts, starting now.
I seem to remember reading a book, a small volume it was, about, called The Expert, about a man who sat on the laboratory a great deal. Is that right? Can you remember the thing? And it was a man who... Oh, I said man twice.
Yes, Clement Freud. Yes, Clement.
He said man twice.
Yes, he did. I think you're searching for a book called The Specialist.
Oh, The Specialist, that was it, yes.
Right, there are 20 to 1.5 seconds for you, Clement, on experts starting now.
But specialists are, of course, experts. And the person who wrote the book about which Derek Nimmo was speaking thought that having a laboratory door which opened out was a considerable mistake, especially if there was no lock on the door. He came to a substantial...
Kenneth Williams, a chance.
Two doors.
Yes.
Well done, Kenneth. Well, listen. 6 seconds for you on the subject of experts, starting now.
One of the greatest experts, undoubtedly, was John McAdam. Now, I was trying to get in earlier.
Well, they all got points in that round, and Kenneth got the extra one for speaking as the whistle went, and they're keeping neck and neck. In fact, Clement Freud, Kenneth Williams, and Derek Nimmo are equal 2 points ahead of Peter Jones. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, diversions. There are 60 seconds on that, as usual, starting now.
Diversion is exactly what happens when John McAdam goes wrong. The McAdamization of roads is such that pavements collapse, potholes occur, and cars have cones put in front of them in order to divert into a lane which it had not previously intended to use for its vehicular access. If you drive up the M1, 5, 6, not to mention 2, 22, and 62, there are...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
3 twos or six.
They're 22 and 62.
They're hyphenated, yes, I suppose.
They're not even hyphenated.
What?
They're not even hyphenated. 22 is written as one word.
Well, it depends who's writing it, isn't it? Well, if this...
Well, anybody who does joined-up writing.
Well, that
left out the chairman of the team.
So, Ian Messiter, sitting beside me, has said that he agrees on that fact. And whether it's hyphenated or not, you don't have a repetition there. So, Clement, you keep the subject. And there are 28 seconds on diversions starting now.
If you want to go to Bournemouth from London, Exeter is not a good town to pass. And diversions through that city would be a major mistake.
Well, he's all sort of settled down with a lot of mummy. Really.
Yeah, I think he'd, to use the phrase we've used before, he'd packed in, really.
He didn't.
And so, I don't know why we're so keen to get the subject back. So anyway, Derek, you have got a point on this occasion, and you take over the subject of diversions with 45 seconds starting now.
Last week, I was travelling to Birmingham along the M1, and I was diverted near Newport Pagnell, and the road took me right through Oney, up through Woodstock, Eaves, round a little village called Eastern Mordet, through Bogier.
Peter Jones challenge.
Well, he said through three times.
He did indeed, Peter. Well done. And you got in with 3/4 of a second to go on diversion. Yes. Starting now.
One of the most pleasant...
So, they're all keeping very close in this game. Derek Nimmo, the next round, please, is with you. And the subject is the crow's nest. There are 60 seconds, and you start now.
We set sail from the yacht club near the Star Ferry in Hong Kong, past Lantau, Chung Cha, around Lama Island, and sail through the South China Sea.
Kenneth Williams, child.
We've heard a lot about sailing, but not a word about the crow's nest. It seems to me to be outrageous. I mean, after all, the subject is the crow's nest, and it hasn't been mentioned.
No, he was talking about sailing for 10 seconds without mentioning the crow's nest.
Right, you can't. You've got to get the boat going.
No, we're not
the crow's nest. What's the point of climbing up the crow's nest in the harbour? You've got to set sail.
Well, I think in 60 seconds, within 10 seconds, you've got to establish. Establish the subject, I think. So, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. Yes. 50 seconds on the crow's nest starting now.
I saw some crows building a nest in a load of trees, and I thought, well, what remarkable.
Peter Jones' challenge.
They wouldn't build in a load of trees.
They'd build in one tree, wouldn't they?
A load of crows. A load of crows would.
A load of crows would.
We
will grant you the load of crows and the load of trees. All right. You've got to keep going somehow in this game. You mustn't be too severe on them. 44 seconds, Kenneth, through with you on the crow's nest starting now.
I'm seeing them fly out of their habitat. I was interested to notice the wingspan of the crow. Now, do you know it can be as much?
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation. He's left the crow's nest and is looking at birds in flight. The deviation. As much as I hadn't climbed up into my crow's nest because we were sailing out of Hong Kong Harbour.
All right. Showing that I like to try and be fair, yes, he got you on that point, so we'll let you have him on the same point, and you take the subject back, and there are 33 seconds left, starting now.
Standing aloft in the crow's nest, I spied an albatross floating overhead, and...
Clement Freud challenge.
A deviation. Albatross then float.
He said flying overhead.
No, he said floating overhead.
Yes, he said floating.
Well, they float when they're in the air like that. It's called floating in the air.
The boat.
Floating
float.
In the air.
The
you don't say fly, fly. You say floating in the air.
Oh, I think that's, a colloquial phrase that's,
Yes.
Descriptive dialogue, which, I think that's a bit of a harsh challenge, so Derek...
Well, no, it's a Russian expression, aerofloat. You've heard of that. It's all floating in the air.
Yes, but they pronounce it flop.
Do they?
Right. Derek, you still have the subject. 18 seconds, the crow's nest, starting now.
Like the ancient mariner of old, I fumbled in my pocket and brought out a piece of bread, which I chucked high, and this great creature... swam down towards me, picked it up with its beak, and flew into the far distance towards the South China Sea.
So Derek Nimmo managed to keep going till the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has taken the lead again. And Kenneth, your turn to begin, and the subject, very aptly after all that, is fantasy. So can you tell us something about fantasy? Occurs enough in just a minute, but can you talk on it in 60 seconds, starting now?
I have this fantasy. They say to me, you can take over. And I'm given these wonderful robes to wear and an orb to hold and a scepter. And I wield my mighty sway over millions that rush to do my bidding and obey my slightest whim. I become a cult, an enormous, great cult figure.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of cult.
Yes, he knew.
You can't have enough of the cult.
In just a minute, I'm afraid we can. And Clement has a correct challenge, and 31 seconds for him to talk on the subject of fantasy, starting now.
My fantasy is to go to China and go to the top of a crow's nest and watch an albatross float past. It's a very odd thing when birds cease to fly, stop to swoop, no longer do what those animals normally perform. But...
Well, I thought it all came to a halt, a jettering halt.
Yes, I know. It's when they try to get back at each other because they weren't given the challenge previously. 10 seconds are left for you, Kenneth, to take over the subject of fantasy, starting now.
Perhaps one of the greatest fantasies was that one which was envisaged by people like Hitler and Mussolini, that you could rule the world and have sort
of... A Peter Jones challenge.
I don't know who these people are who were like Hitler and Mussolini.
We would have heard of them had they existed.
I think we might have done, yes.
It's perfectly reasonable to say people like Hitler and Mussolini. Genghis Khan was another one. They were all people who had world dominion as their aim. That's perfectly reasonable. What are you talking about, you great dunder-headed fool? How dare you interrupt me?
Well, I was still going to give it to you, Kenneth.
Oh, thank you. Well,
I think I should also give Peter, this is the last round, a bonus point for a good challenge, because it was nice hearing from him again. And we've only got 1 second to go.
How patronizing, you, isn't it? Patronizing.
Really patronizing. Yes. You try and be a chairman without being patronizing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very difficult job, and you keep it the ball rolling beautifully, I think.
Well, Kennedy, we've only got half a second to talk on the subject of fantasy, starting now.
Fantasy is seen by Schumann.
And so, as I indicated, this was not going to be the last round. It was going to be the last round, so it is also the end of the contest and the end of the show, alas. But let me give you the final score. Very close throughout, as I indicated. Peter Jones finished in fourth place, only just 1 point behind Clement Freud, who was 3 points behind this week's joint winners, Derek Nimmo with Kenneth Williams. Thank you very much. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and want to tune in again the same time next week when we go on with the series into the number 2, thanks to your wonderful reaction, and we will continue from that point. Thank you again for listening, and from us all here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.